Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal, and we're here with our little Nocturnal Journey segment with Marina Pacini, the Chief Curator and Curator of American Modern and Contemporary Art at the Memphis Brooks Museum of Art in Memphis, Tennessee. Thanks for joining us tonight, Marina.
It's my pleasure.
And the reason you're on is I was driving back from Pensacola Beach, and I stopped in Memphis, one of my favorite towns. I actually wanted to sleep in the pyramid, the Bass Pro Shop pyramid, for a project I'm working on. And I thought it would be a good spiritual thing to come and see Red Grooms, the traveling correspondent exhibit you have up at the museum. I'm a huge Red Grooms fan. Tell us who Red Grooms is and tell us a little bit about the exhibit.
Okay, well, the museum is celebrating its centennial. So we spent some time trying to think about who would be the perfect artist to be the capstone exhibition for the centennial. And Red was born in Nashville. He moved in 1939. He moved to New York in the late 50s, where he pretty much remained for the rest of his career and became an internationally recognized artist for his work in a variety of media. The museum also has a terrific piece of his in the collection called the Tennessee S-Curve, and we like to do exhibitions that are tied to the permanent collection. So he seemed like a wonderful choice to celebrate the centennial. I put it together. There's a gallery devoted to New York and then a gallery devoted to Tennessee, the two major locations in his life, and then there's a third gallery devoted to his films. And the reason for that is that as I was doing my research, I came to realize that really I think one of the foundations of Red's art is his Southern upbringing and the Southern storytelling tradition, and obviously filmmaking fits right into the concept of storytelling.
Tell us some about the highlights of the exhibit. One thing I liked, I mean, it's so whimsical and fun. It's hands-on. I went there on a Sunday afternoon. People were smiling. One of the highlights, tell us about the New York City bus. I mean, you can get on the bus with all his characters, and there's an empty seat where you can sit down and be amongst the characters. So pick up that story and tell us about what that bus is about and just the feel-good attitude of the exhibit.
Well, sure. And I should have said that right off the bat. One of the other major reasons we were interested in Red is that his work's really accessible.
Right.
And, you know, little kids to senior citizens and everybody in between, and people without, you know, any big knowledge of art history can all appreciate his work. It's very accessible. He's really very fun. The work is very whimsical. And it's very engaging, and you hit the nail on the head. That is a 20-foot recreation of a New York City transit bus that you climb onto. You can put a coin in just as if you were riding the bus in New York. Well, I should say in the old days. Now it's those little subway cards. And he has populated the bus with a cross-section of the kinds of people, the diverse group of people that you run into in New York City. And one of the things that I love about Red's work is that he really has this amazing talent for creating all of these highly individual characters that represent, you know, cross-sections of our country, and does it in a very fond way, even though there's, you know, sometimes there's a little poking fun. The bus is typical of Red's work, where there is no detail that he has left untouched. The ads that run across the top of the bus, all the instructions on how to stop the bus, you know, to let them know that you want to get off, the billboards on the exterior, the whole thing is very lovingly recreated. And it's, I mean, the public is going crazy over it, and completely understandably. So much fun.
As a old print journalist, I like the person sitting at the front of the bus reading the newspaper. I got a big kick out of that. You don't see that much these days in Chicago. Tell us also about the carousel. My brother lives in Nashville. I knew that it was commissioned, the Tennessee Foxtrot Carousel, and it was there in downtown Nashville for a while. I believe it's in storage now, but you have pieces, the Grantland Rise. Tell us about the characters on the carousel and what you have up there from the carousel.
Sure. That was great foresight. The mayor of Nashville at the time, Phil Bredesen, approached Red and wanted him to do a public art project. And Red had always wanted to do a carousel. And so he pitched it saying that all 36 of the characters would be a part of Nashville history. Now, obviously, some of those figures also have a national reputation, but they were all somehow really based in Nashville. It was on exhibition in downtown Nashville from 1998 to about 2002. And unfortunately, they raised enough money to pay for the figures, but they didn't raise enough money for all of the mechanical bits. And so, unfortunately, it was taken down and put into storage, which I think is a real shame. And I know there are a lot of people in Nashville who are dying for the funds to be raised to bring it back again. And you're absolutely right. The figures are absolutely extraordinary. They're very typical of Red, where his ability to capture salient details about the individuals. There's Cornelia Fort, who was a woman who got her pilot's license and was teaching flying in Nashville and then moved to Hawaii. And she was the first woman killed in during wartime in an airplane. And so the figure is this fabulous, funny airplane with the big plume coming out the back of it. And he's got all the details of the cockpit. I mean, the figures are so engaging, as you say. Grantland Rice, he's got references to all the different sports that he covered, as well as the newspaper there. They are so much fun. And I know our visitors are probably dying to climb on them, but at this point, they are not suitable for riding inside the gallery.
Yeah. He just, there's the fame, and I'm a big Ouija fan, and he has the Coney Island thing, the painting there of the Ouija Coney Island, all the people there at Coney Island. But specifically, can you talk about how Red seems to just love the energy and the sparks of urban life and people and stuff? How does that inform his work?
You hit the nail on the head on that one. He is a lover of spectacles. He grew up in Nashville. His grandmother lived right down the street from where the circus used to set up, and they would sit on their porch when the circus came to town and watch it, go down the street, and then he'd go and visit. And he just loves spectacles. And that's exactly what that Ouija photograph is, of all those, that mass of figures at Coney Island. And he really just goes to town with something like that. And, it's one of the things that I think is very funny is I seriously think that the Southern storytelling tradition is a big part of what makes him who he is. But some of the best images are, in fact, of urban scenes as opposed to the Southern ones. I mean, in terms of capturing that whimsy of the storytelling tradition.
Memphis is one of my favorite cities. I go there a lot. And he visited there, according to some of the notes I read, he visited there in 2014 and toured the city with Robert Gordon, whom I know, the writer and stuff. So Memphis is such a great, I know Red did Elvis Presley and stuff. Just talk about how music and the vibe of Memphis informed him. And is that when this project kind of began, or how, what were the roots of the exhibit?
Okay. Well, what happened was when we decided to do the exhibition on Red in 2014, the Halliday family had given the museum some funds to commission a piece by an artist or acquire a piece having to do with the Mississippi River because of their parents. And so when we decided to do the Red Grooms exhibition, it was a no-brainer. What we'll do is commission Red to do a piece about Memphis and the Mississippi River. So as you say, he came. He spent 4 days here. And I organized a tour for him with Robert Gordon and Tad Pearson.
Tad,
the 1955 Cadillac, so it's driving around town.
Yeah, right.
It's a great experience. And then with both of them giving the tour for Red, it was completely fabulous. So he sketched his wife and Sion, took photographs. They bought books. They went home. And he started doing a series of drawings. And the end result is Memphis on My Mind, which is the companion piece, really, to the Tennessee Esper, which is about Central Tennessee. And you're absolutely right. He's somebody who's completely fascinated by music, and he certainly populated that image. It's got Memphis Minnie, Isaac Hayes, Elvis Presley are all in there. And I think one of the things I love about that piece is that, you know, when I told one of our patrons that we had commissioned him to do Memphis and the River, they were like, oh, that's impossible. Nobody can do that in one piece. And I think Red selected individuals and events and places and, you know, reorganized where they happened geographically in the city, but nonetheless really captures so much that's important and significant about Memphis. It's a really tremendous piece. And it gets to, you know, one of the reasons I called it the exhibition Traveling Correspondent is that he really does have a correspondent's eye for detail, and he's somebody who, in his travels, you know, manages to capture different places and people with just an astonishing ability.
And he has empathy and respect for his subjects, you know.
Absolutely.
Couple more things. Thanks for joining us. I know you've been a little bit under the weather. You received your BA in art history from the University of Wisconsin-Madison and MA from the University of Delaware. What did you learn about art and, again, the human spirit from working on this project that maybe you didn't know before?
Well, one of the things, I keep harping back on this Southern storytelling tradition, but it was, you know, when I start a project, I never know where it's going to take me. And I read a lot about Red, and everybody talked about him as a storyteller. And as somebody who's lived in the South, a northerner who's lived in the South for 25 years, I've come to appreciate the specific, very different traditions down here. And I did a lot of reading, you know, starting with Tall Tales and Mark Twain. And I think Red captures many of the things that they're doing in, you know, that these literary figures were doing, which is capturing a cross-section of individuals. And, you know, sometimes it can be a little cruel in the literature, but the idea is that you are making people confront the fact that we live in a world with diverse people and learning to accept and understand that. And I think that's a really extraordinary thing.
You hit the nail on the head there. I mean, that's so timely right now, and that's why I wanted to do this segment, actually. So, I mean, that's exactly what I saw in that. How many pieces overall in the exhibit?
It depends on how you count, but let's say 50.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I really want to encourage people listening to this to get to Memphis, Tennessee, and see Red Grooms Traveling Correspondent. It's up through January 8th, 2017. That's correct?
That's correct. If I can just add one more thing, we did an audio tour, which is available on our website, and you can actually hear Red talking about some of the pieces. I'm on there as well as Susan Mills, the other author, but the main reason to listen is because hearing Red talk about the pieces is just terrific. He really is so much fun to listen to.
Good, good. Thank you, Marina, at the Brooks Museum there in Memphis, and take care of yourself.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.